بسم الأب والابن والروح القدس الإله الواحد أمين. أهنئكم أيها الأحباء بالعام الجديد وبعيد الميلاد المجيد، وأهنئ كل الأباء المطارنة والأباء الأساقفة والأباء القمامسة والأباء الخصوص، وأيضا الشمامسة والأراخنة وكل بيت وكل أسرة، وأيضا أهنئ كل الشباب والشابات وكل الأطفال الصغار. أهنئكم جميعا وأرجو لكم عاما سعيدا وعيدا مجيدا. وإحنا حسب التقليد الكنسي ننهي العام الميلادي بالصوم وبالتسبيح، ونبدأ العام الميلادي الجديد بعيد الميلاد. وهذه البداية الجديدة هي بداية للفرح، فوقت عيد الميلاد هو يمكن أن نسميه عيد دخول الفرح إلى العالم. لقد كان العالم قبل ميلاد المسيح بلا فرح، بلا فرح في كل شيء. كانت العبادة يومية، وكانت الذبائح متكررة، وكانت الاشتياقات كثيرة من الأبرار، ولكن كان الفردوس أيضا مغلقا. وجاء السيد المسيح في ميلاده وتجسده، والكلمة صار جسدا وحل بيننا ورأينا مجده. وبدأ عصر جديد نسميه عصر الفرح. والحقيقة الفرح هو حياة الإنسان وسعادة الإنسان، فالوجود الإنساني أساسا من أجل أن يكون فرحا وسعيدا. وللسبب ده بنلاقي في كنيستنا كلمة الليلويا تتكرر كثيرا، حتى ما يصير الإنسان نفسه هو التهليل وهو التسبيح. وأحب أن أنا أذكر بعض مشاهد الفرح في قصة الميلاد وأحداث الميلاد. أمنا العذراء مريم تعطينا المشهد الأول عندما تقابلت مع القديسة إليصابات بعد أن استمعت إلى بشارة الملاك، وذهبت إلى هناك إلى هذه السيدة العجوز وهي حامل وقد ارتقد الجنين في بطنها، ترحيباً بوالدة الإله القديسة مريم العذراء. ثم وقفت أمنا العذراء تصلي هذه التسبحة، وبدأتها بالعبارة الشهيرة لها: تعظم نفسي الرب وتبتهج روحي بالله مخلصي. وكأنها تقدم لنا مشهد الفرح بنوال الخلاص. أمنا العذراء مريم مثل سائر البشر احتاجت إلى خلاص السيد المسيح على الصليب، وأعلنت بوضوح شديد: تبتهج روحي بالله مخلصي. هذا الفرح هو فرح الخلاص الذي عم على البشرية. ونصلي في قطع الساعة السادسة في الأجبية ونقول: نشكرك لأنك ملأت الكل فرحا أيها المخلص لما أتيت تعين العالم، يا رب المجد لك. ده المشهد الأول. المشهد الثاني أيضا نراه في القديس يوسف النجار، ذلك الشيخ الوقور الذي اؤتمن على أمنا العذراء الصغيرة والصبية والبتول، واؤتمن عليها وصار بالحقيقة حارسا لسر التجسد الإلهي. وأتمنى الله أن يكون هو الحارس الأمين والمخلص، وبذلك يعلمنا فرح المسؤولية. لما الكتاب المقدس ذكر شذرات عن القديس يوسف النجار، ولكن كلها شذرات الطاعة وتنفيذ الوصية بكل الفرح، سواء في بشارة الملاك للعذراء، سواء في ولادتها في بيت لحم، حتى أيضا في الهروب إلى أرض مصر ثم العودة إلى أرض فلسطين. هذا هو فرح المسؤولية، من يقوم بالمسؤولية بملء الفرح فينجح بسبب أمانته وإخلاصه. المشهد الثالث هو مشهد الملائكة. الملائكة في السماء تهللت وقدمت لنا أيضا درسا في الفرح، هو فرح التسبيح. وقفت الملائكة تنشد وتقول: المجد لله في الأعالي، وعلى الأرض السلام، وبالناس المسرة. وهذه الإنشودة تلخص وتقدم صورة من صور الفرح وكيف يأتي إلى الإنسان. فرحك لا يأتي إلا عندما تمجد الله، وفرحك لا يأتي إلا عندما تصنع سلام مع الآخرين، وفرحك لا يأتي إلا عندما تنقل هذا الفرح تقدمه إلى كل الناس وبالناس المصر. هذا هو فرح التسبيح أو فرح العبادة. ويمكن ده زي ما قلت اللي بننهي بيه السنة الميلادية، شهر التسبيح، شهر كياك، وبنسبح فيه ونطبق أمنا العذراء مريم ونحطها المثال الرائع أمامنا جميعا باعتبارها فخر جنس البشر. أنا بهنيكم بعيد الميلاد، وتحياتي ومحبتي لكل الحضور ولكل الآباء ولكل الإخوة، وأحييكم من أرض مصر من الكنيسة القبطية الأرثوذكسية. وعارف إن إحنا في زمن انتشار هذا الوباء، ولكن عندنا الأمل والرجاء أن الله يرفع هذا الوباء عن كل العالم، ويكون هذا الوباء هو رسالة توبة لكل إنسان فينا، ويعطينا الله دائما نقاوة في قلوبنا وفي حياتنا وفي سلوكنا. مرة أخرى أهنئكم بالعام الجديد وبعيد الميلاد الجديد، جعله الله عاما سعيدا على الجميع، ولإلهنا كل مجد وكرامة من الآن وإلى الأبد.
Message from His Grace Bishop Yusuf. My beloved children, I wish you many blessings of the Holy Nativity Feast. The glorious Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ has instilled in us many lessons from year to year. What do our eyes see on this astounding night? We need to see things through Him and to take heart of all the good that He brings out of every situation. He taught us that giving is better than receiving, and receiving is contingent upon giving. He taught us that perfection as children of God requires loving all, even our foes, and blessing those who curse us, doing good to those who hate us, and praying for those who spitefully use us. He taught us that entering through the narrow gate will lead us to the inheritance of His eternal, infinite, and glorious kingdom. He taught us that greatness in reliance upon humility, and leadership rests upon service. Take notice of the paradox of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. Many lessons He taught us, but the world has not learned to appreciate God's love through His mercy to all humanity is evinced. He makes His sun shine on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Let us consider this past year and the history of mankind. We blame wars, economic turmoil, plagues, and more recently, a mutating virus for our miseries. Yet we do not look into ourselves. Rather, we demand swift healing so that our former ways may be restored. People were dismayed when restaurants and bars were closed. Yet poor do not feast at restaurants and Christians do not rejoice in bars. Wedding receptions become more convenient and advantageous than praying and witnessing the work of the Holy Spirit in the crowning ceremonies. No longer can we think nor behave in that manner. Joyfully, many have awoken from the miserable state of lukewarmness and transformed their prayerless homes into churches. We should not desire to return to what we were and how we lived, but rather to raise our eyes to God and ask for a better place and a better way. That was the folly of Lot's wife, for she looked back at what she had and what she left. We should follow the example of our father Abraham, who turned his back on the former evils of the land. He trusted and followed God into a new place. He looked ahead with a humble spirit and allowed his kinsmen to choose a portion first, but God blessed Abraham more and more. and Saint Mary's song and praise, she recalled how the Lord greatly blessed our father Abraham and filled all his promises and fulfilled all his promises to him, as the world would behold the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Let us pray for the world as day by day the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is approaching, that we may be watchful like the shepherds, wise like the Magi, faithful like Saint Joseph, and humble like Saint Mary. These are the qualities of the people that welcomed the Lord when he came to us as an infant, and these are the qualities that we must keep when he returns to us in his glory. We pray for our churches not just to open for activities, but to open with the resounding power of prayer and faith. When we pray for each other, those suffering illness, loss, grief, and any form of hardship, we pray, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Indeed, no matter of difficulties, we can be assured that Christ is Emmanuel, God is with us, and what he endured for us is for our glory with him. We pray for our honored father and patriarch, His Holiness Pope Tewodros II, and beseech our Lord to preserve his life upon his throne for many years in peaceful times. Christ is born, let us glorify him. Signed, Bishop Yusuf, Bishop Basil, and Bishop Gregory.
I wanted to talk with you today, my brethren, about one of the verses that told us about the incarnation. It is in the book of Isaiah. And it's a clear prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, saying, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Usually a child is born for his parents, but not this one. This one is given unto us, is granted to us. So we become the owner, we become the one who received this kind of gift. And this verse tells us also about the gift of oneself. And this is something we learn from the story of the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we'll talk today about Christ's gift to us, and then we ourselves giving him back ourselves as a gift to him as well. When Christ came to us, he granted us everything about himself. He did not need anything from us, and he did not want from us anything except our safety and our salvation. That's why we repeat every time in the Creed this statement, "Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven." It's a gift that was not even reduced in any way. He did not try to save anything from himself. He gave us his life entirely. And we enjoyed many things because of this gift. Of course, and above all, we were given the redemption. We understand that someone has to die in order for us to be spared, in order for us to be able to live and live eternally. The redemption that we heard Isaiah speaking about in his prophecy, saying, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities." This gift also granted us the ability to be united with him. There is no way for us as humans, with all of our fallen natures, we can find our way to heaven unless we become united with the one who have access to heaven. So we hear Saint Paul says about this, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Our mortal flesh cannot find this gift of resurrection unless we be united with the one who rose from the dead. And he granted us through his incarnation this kind of gift. Through his incarnation, through the gift that he granted to us also, we enjoyed the dwelling of the Spirit in us. In the scene we remember about the Lord baptism, we find the Holy Spirit coming upon him. Of course, he has the Spirit in himself. He does not need this kind of Spirit to show on him. But this was giving us the signal that the Spirit started to find its way again, to find rest in the human flesh. He came upon him as man, in order to tell us that every time a person is to be baptized will receive the same gift. This is the time again when the Spirit will come and dwell in us after He departed from us because of our sin. Through His incarnation also He granted us the gift of being able to be victorious in our war against the devil. We even are granted an authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and upon all of the power of the enemies. This is something again humans never enjoyed before the incarnation. The Lord overpowered Satan in the temptation on the mountain and also in the last battle at the cross. And He granted us through His victory the ability to be victorious as well. Through Him giving Himself to us, we were given the ability to be in Him through the mystery of baptism. We joined His body and became members in His body, as we see St. Paul speaking about this to the Corinthians, saying, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." And because of this, we became, as St. Paul also described to the Ephesians, bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh. All of these are gifts granted through His gift, giving Himself entirely to us. And above all, again, He granted us His body and His blood to be on the altar every single day. So whenever we fail, whenever we fall, whenever we disappoint ourselves or disappoint Him, we still can find remedy for our sin, and we come and partake of His body and His blood. Let's go back and think of us. What do we give to Him? Sometimes when we give even what is due, our tithes, we feel like we give Him something of value, and we feel like this is a great gift to be granted. And actually, the ultimate gift that if a person would give himself entirely. And I'm not speaking about a person who is dedicated to the service or consecrated to serve God in the capacity of a priest or a bishop or a monk. But it is my life becomes His, and He has a total control of it. It is the surrender of the whole life. My goal, my personal talent, even my weakness and my mistakes becomes His, and He will handle. And when God is handling us, not only He is going to make use of our talents and our strengths, but also He will make our weaknesses to become part of our salvation, make something good out of it. This gift, whenever we give ourselves entirely, we at that time aligns ourselves with His will and becoming part of it. And through this, we know that everything will happen for us is for a reason. We trust that even random things, or what we assume is random, still is of value, because I gave myself entirely in His hand. To give oneself to Christ, it is the forgetfulness about oneself, to only remember the one I gave myself to. Most of the issues, most of the troubles and conflicts that we have in our day-to-day life is because we still have ourselves to protect and to boost our egos and to secure ourselves and our lives. If I truly believe that I gave my life entirely to Him, then I trust that everything will work for good because I love Him and because I trusted Him over myself. When we give ourselves entirely to Christ, by then only our lives will serve a purpose beyond our limited being. Look at a person like Saint Mary, a young girl, 13 years old. If she was not granted this mystery, we wouldn't know about her. But she was granted this mystery to carry the Son of God because she gave Himself entirely to God. She forgot everything about herself. No one for us can think of an ambition for Saint Mary. What did she achieve herself on the personal level? Her life were transformed entirely for the salvation of other people. And this is again what will happen with us whenever we surrender ourselves to Him. By then, it is only when we give ourselves entirely that we trust that all that is His will be also ours. When we give ourselves to God, then I become part of whatever He owns. And whatever He owns becomes also for me. This is what St. Paul meant when he wrote to the Romans. He who did not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Today we remember that this mystery, the mystery of the incarnation, and remember the birth of the Messiah, and remember the gift, the ultimate gift that was granted to humanity, the Lord Christ Himself granting us Himself. It is also a call for us to do the same and to think how I'm going to devote my life to Him, how my life will be entirely granted. In whatever capacity I am doing, I am still can give myself to Him and live beyond my limited being. May the Lord grant us all this kind of lifestyle, giving ourselves entirely to Him, so our lives will have a meaning, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.